song here this morning. This is a wonderful story, a continuation in the Christmas story. The story that Kathy began in her message about Mary continues the story beyond the angels coming to her and eventually to a message that God gave Mary. The passage that we'll focus on is called the Magnificat. If that sounds like magnificent, it's because they're from the same Latin root word. It means my soul exults, or my soul rejoices. And that's actually the first word in the Latin version of what Mary begins to say that we'll be looking at here this morning. Context of these words, of course, are the angel came to Mary, told her of a miracle that would occur. She would become the mother of the Messiah. And he told her how this was to happen. It wasn't an ordinary sort of thing, but Jesus would be conceived in her as a direct result or miracle of God. Mary was also given a confirmation of her faith. Remember, in contrast, last week, Zechariah asked for a confirmation. He asked for a sign. Mary didn't ask for that. She just simply said, may it be to me, as you said. But she was given a sign anyway, and that sign was that her aged aunt was pregnant. Her aged cousin was already pregnant as part of another miracle that God was performing. In verse 36, it says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Well, that must have been an amazing word from the Lord as well. The miracle that I'm told is going to be performed in me has already, a miracle has already happened in the life of this dear relative of mine. And I kind of wonder what Mary was thinking at that moment, especially as she began to think about, well, I think I'll go see her. Maybe it's going to be good to get out of Dodge. Maybe it's going to be good to be away for a while. I want to go see this. So she packs her bags and heads for the south to the hill country of Judea where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. It would have been about a four-day walk to Elizabeth's house. She had plenty of time, I think, to think about what she'd actually say to her cousin, explaining things. It would be maybe a difficult talk. Interestingly, she didn't even have to say a word. There was another miracle that would happen. It happened in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in that time, for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a little different than in our day and age. We think of people full of the Holy Spirit who are totally yielded to God, who walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're told in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, that the gift of the Holy Spirit residing within us is normative for individuals who've given their life to God in Christ. Not so in the New Testament. At times, there were special cases where the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, and what they would say would be one of those remarkable utterances, prophetic statements of God. It was obvious when they spoke, because very often they spoke beyond their own knowledge of the particular events that were occurring. They spoke in ways that fleshed out what God was doing. No one could have known they couldn't have known moments before the Holy Spirit came upon them what it was they were actually going to say. So this what happened here. Elizabeth, hearing Mary's greeting, was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That is a remarkable opening, Holy Spirit opening into her thought life. She had to have been divinely graced to have perceived that right there, in that moment, that the mother of my Lord has come to see me. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Okay, that's amazing. Blessed is she who's believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It's like everybody's on the same party line. It's like listening in. Oh, I already know it. I know what's going to happen. I think this must have been one of those moments in Mary's life where a massive weight must have come off her shoulders. Again, imagine going to talk with them both, kind of rehearsing in your mind's eye what it's going to be like to have this difficult conversation. And then you get something like this. You walk into a miracle where somebody already knows. They know in some way that God has already visited you and graced you with tremendous promises. This is another blessing, I think, that we see in the miracle of Christmas. This must have been, for Mary, an amazing confirmation. No, this is not a crazy thing. I really did hear right. God is in control. I didn't have to say a thing. Elizabeth just broke out into this blessing of me and my child. And Elizabeth's humility is remarkable as well. She recognizes that Mary is one of the blessed, most blessed among women in humanity. She's humbled by the fact that Mary would come and visit her. She doesn't feel deserving. Unlike her own husband, she says Mary believed that the Lord would deliver on his word. Not only that, she recognizes that the child in Mary's womb is even greater than the child in her own. She calls Mary the mother of my Lord. She admits that when she saw her, this baby in her, John, did some kind of somersault. Jesus, I mean, you've seen that at times, haven't you? You see, I'm always amazed at when that happens on a woman's tummy and these feet come out and it just goes right across her tummy, like this, you know, or an elbow must be going like this, and you see this trail. But this must have been an amazing little event, and it coincided with a direct opening into her mind about the significance of what was going on. Most scholars believe that what she's talking about here, the mother of my Lord should come to me, is kind of looking back into the Old Testament. These people lived and breathed the Old Testament. And so that she would call him Lord already is remarkable. And the contrast between even the children, they think it looks back even to that Old Testament story of Jacob and Esau. Now, in that story, the reverse happened. It was not the older that was served by the younger, but it was the younger that was served by the older. And in this case, it's true again. The younger, Jesus, born after John the Baptist, would be served by John the Baptist. John the Baptist would be his messenger, the prophet that goes ahead and announces that the Lord and his kingdom is near. See, this humility is expressed by knowing and accepting your place in God's plan. You have a place. We all have a place. But your place is different than my place or anyone else's place. Only you can live out God's plan for you. Living out God's plan for you is extremely important. We don't get the privilege in the sense of casting about what if Mary hadn't done this? What if she hadn't responded obediently? Because we know that's not the case. But there are times when we are poised at moments like that where God lays his plans before us, nudges us in a certain direction, calls, makes a call on our life. And there are moments, very important, critical moments, where we say yes or no to that plan. We say yes or no to what we sense that God is saying to us in those moments. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference for you and for me. It makes a difference for me if I'm saying no because I become someone other than I should be when I'm saying no to God. I don't become what he intends me to be. His work of purifying my life, enabling me to become all that he hopes I would become, all that he wants for me to become, all that he plans for me to become, that doesn't happen when I'm saying no. And that's sad for you, too, if I'm not being obedient. How I live here on this earth does affect other people. How you live affects other people. When we are not as we could be, or as God wants us to be, with each other, we cannot serve and help and minister to and influence and help each other walk this path together. I like and revel in these examples of people who obediently walked the path before them, that God was laying before them, that kind of humility that says, I want your plan. We have a place, you and I. We have a place in God's plan, our own place. It is a place where we flourish, we are nourished. It is also a place where we befriend and help and lift those that we are in contact with. When we finally get to that point where we understand that, we stop comparing ourselves to others. And we start doing what we were called to do. And the result, you can see in this text, is just joy. It is joy. I think the weight of all that rolled back off of Mary's shoulders. And in a humble way, what follows is the outpouring of her heart. This is one thing that I think I should challenge you here with this morning, is to think about if you're opening your life daily and moment by moment to God's plan and call on your life. If that's not the case, that's a tragic situation. It is a situation that places you in charge instead of, like Mary or like Elizabeth said, God is in charge. When you're in charge, there's an interesting thing that happens. Pride takes hold. Pride, according to one author, C.S. Lewis, is a very important thing to watch out for. It's one of those things that through the centuries the church has called one of the great sins. Pride is a little different than you and I might expect. He doesn't describe it as something where we're proud of an accomplishment that a family member has or has done, or even when we accomplish something, that there's something good about being able to celebrate an accomplishment and seeing how God was at work in your life and to be able to celebrate that. Joy is part of that kind of pride. That kind of pride is okay. But it's the kind of pride, he says, that's extremely competitive. Pride at its unhealthy pride is extremely competitive. It wants to be first. It wants to be first in almost anything. It will almost die to be first, to be just a little bit better. Now, that can happen in lots of different ways. It can certainly be seen in terms of how people pursue their economic goals. They want to be first. Ruthlessness in business, for example, is the way, the direction that pride takes a person. Pride is another thing. It begins to work in such a way that you want to live over and against other people, especially those who get in the way of your designs and life plans. Pride is the kind of thing that eventually will result in disinterest or disregard for people. You won't care necessarily about need in front of you. It can stare you in the face because it doesn't fit into your agenda, what you're about. So pride can take us a long, long ways down an unhealthy path. And these two women illustrate a kind of humility that is beautiful and needs to be embraced by us. They were caught up in God's wonderful plan, his plan for salvation. One was to be the mother of the herald of the Savior, and one was to be the mother of the Savior. You too are caught up in God's plan. God has great and wondrous things for you. I mentioned last Sunday, and some of you, it connected with the idea that Zechariah and Elizabeth waited till they were aged to see this promise of God come due in their lives. You and I may still be waiting for promises to come due in our lives. Don't lose heart. Be his person. Thomas Merton once said, and I think it's kind of the spirit of Christmas, "Give me humility, in which alone is rest, and deliver me from pride, which is the heaviest of burdens." Heavenly Father, work in our hearts today so that we sense our true place before and with you. Your loved children created by you. Your wayward children tainted by sin, broken by our willfulness. Forgive. Cleanse. We realize that even the impulse to want to love you better through our heart, our words and deeds, comes fortified by the work of your powerful Holy Spirit. Increase that desire in us today. Help us to honor this Christmas the gift of your Son. Honor the lives of these saints who lived well before us as they humbly walked the path of your plan. We do ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team, if they would come forward. If you would